Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune in to Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast on time and on schedule this week. We're live in the 1:30 hour on Tuesday. And we're going to begin with a salute to a showbiz legend. This takes about 2 seconds. It's one of these, you see it over the weekend. It gets a mention because, you know, the Honeymooners was such a groundbreaking, legendary, pretty hilarious 39 episodes of the comedy that actually you can probably trace every joke you ever hear now to something that was written back in 1954 on that show with Jackie Gleason and Art Carney. And Joyce Randolph played Art Carney's wife, Ed Norton's wife, Trixie, and she just died. She was 99. Now, Britt, when I work with Spires at WBT in Charlotte, and people would call up, they didn't want to use their real names. If it was a man, we'd call the man Chet. And if it was a woman, we'd call her Trixie. Which is an unheard of name, really, in real life. Has there ever been another Trixie besides Trixie, Ed Norton's wife on the Honeymooners?
I don't think so. I know that when I was a younger man back in the 80s, I was a teenager. I guess I was a young teenager when they were like, oh, my God, we found these lost episodes.
Yeah.
Remember that? Oh, my God. This is TV history. This is unbelievable. We're going to do this. I remember that being like a big deal.
Yeah.
That was about the same
time. I know some TV episodes that I would like to see get lost.
Forever. This was about the same time that we were told to go to the convenience store and grab your glasses. We're all going to watch a 3D motion picture on your TV.
On TV, yeah.
Oh, the 80s were wild, weren't they?
Yes, they were. All right, here you go. Here's the list. And for the millions inquiring, I feel fine. Thank you. Nothing's changed. Here's the list. I hope Ann Coulter is right.
Jeez.
All I have to do is stream. Okay. Guess where this stupid story occurred. That's right. It's one of those, where did it happen?
Oh God.
We haven't done one of those for a while.
No, I need that.
Latest fake fight delay tactic attempted by Trump lawyer squashed. If half of the half of the half, Trump takes Iowa, the world shits. Trump loses again today to Jack Smith. Different story than the other one. And run, Nazi, run in Rockingham County.
Oh, jeepers.
I know you're thinking it's a cornucopia of crap, isn't it?
I don't know. I think we've got quality and quantity. Do the where did it happen first so we can get that out of the way.
Okay. All right.
This gets the blood flowing, gets us in the right frame of mind of actually thinking.
I'll leave out the location and feel free to hit the buzzer at any time and jump in. An irate Subway customer in blank has been charged with battery after he allegedly hurled his sandwich at an employee over, quote, the way it was cut, according to the arrest warrant in the county sheriff's office. The man's name was Alberto De Barros. Do not take the way I overpronounced that as leading you. Age 54, taken into custody by police who were called to a disturbance at a Subway restaurant in blank just after 5 o'clock last Tuesday, January 9th. The blank worker told the county sheriff that DeBarros became upset because he found out that his sandwich was not separated. So if you get a foot long, that's a little bit much. And you know what? At this point, I got to side with the guy.
You think this was an appropriate reaction?
Sure. The two had a brief verbal exchange, and Mr. DeBarro started to cause a disruptive scene, according to the records. The employee said she's not going to serve him. And that's when DeBarro's made a phone call. And while he was on the phone, he threw the sandwich at the employee, hit her in her mid to lower body. I guess you'd have to check for the bruise or the, you know, the oil from the sandwich on the
shirt.
One
can only hope there's video.
Yeah. He stormed out of the restaurant. The worker allegedly assaulted, followed him outside, captured video evidence of his demeanor and his license plate. All right, where did it happen?
I'm saying, you know, I'm going to probably overthink this, but I say California.
You overthought it.
Yeah. Is it really Florida?
Yes.
Jesus.
Well, this is Martin County, Stewart, Florida, Martin County.
Florida is the California of, you know. My ass. I don't know. I'm sorry. I just got this breaking news that distracted me. Judge has blocked the JetBlue from acquiring Spirit Airlines, saying that it would just require it would create an airline that's just way too shitty. Thank you to the judge for. I mean, it's fair, isn't it? It's fair.
JetBlue is not known for bad.
JetBlue's fine. Oh yeah. JetBlue's fine. Spirit's just.
Well, I appreciate the comedy construction.
Sure, it was there.
Okay.
Trump takes Iowa and people freak out.
Yeah. Oh boy. A weary world braces for Trump's return to the White House, and let's for one moment, not for even a second, play into the just dreadful hangover that you're seeing everywhere in the media, buying into the inevitability of Donald Trump's election to the presidency in the general election based on the Iowa caucus. Because that's what they've been doing. They just fucking jumped on board with both feet and completely have suspended, again, what needs to be said. We've said it for months, for years, that you cannot just describe Donald Trump as a candidate for president holding a rep. No, you must describe him as being indicted four times, having been charged with planning and being the mastermind of an attempt to overthrow the United States government. And that's going away, Britt. Can you feel it? Can you feel it right now? That's what they're doing. They're laying the groundwork for that shit.
There was a lot of horse race shit that was going on for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Britt, is he going to get over 50% or under 50%? If he gets under 50, if he gets 49.6, that's devastating. If he gets 51.3, wow.
I don't know. I think in New Hampshire, he's really going to put that economic policy a little more forward than he was doing in Iowa. Shut up. Just shut up. God.
Well,
get out of my
face. While we're there, let me jump down and mix this in here. The thing I called if half of the half of the half.
Yeah, you do that.
And that speaks right to what we were just saying here. Looks like the final toll in Iowa is Trump 51%, DeSantis 21%. Nikki Haley, 19%, Ramaswamy, 7%. So what that means is whether it's 51 or 49, God.
Does it really matter?
Right. Well, it doesn't, because that means that half of the people who dragged their asses out of their homes in unbelievably horrible weather to go caucus on Monday night, about half of them did not vote for Donald Trump. All right. So let's just say that half of those people will immediately throw in the towel and say, well, of course, I'm going to vote for Trump anyway. But now let's take that. That's one fourth who didn't vote for Trump, right? Because half of the half leaves us a fourth. And let's say even half of that, an eighth, under no circumstances are going to vote for Trump. I don't think that's an unfair calculation at all. If that's at all representative, and let's not pretend for a second that the Iowa caucus is representative of anything, but we're extrapolating in a way that has to be said. If Donald Trump was Lyndon Johnson and it was 1968 and there were Iowa caucuses and Lyndon Johnson barely broke 50%, he'd have to drop out of the race. Oh, he did that in New Hampshire.
Right.
And there were no real Iowa caucuses in 68, but in New Hampshire, when he got his ass kicked by Eugene McCarthy, he dropped out. And Bobby Kennedy, he's out. So the not only have the goalposts been moved, not only have the outlines of the playing field been moved, but they've made it appear as if every Republican is going to come home to Donald Trump. And again, Republican voter. And you can put the air quotes around the words normal ones too, if you want.
Yeah, but wait, I do have a question about this. Do you really think that at least among Republican voters, that these results in Iowa are just such a massive outlier if you did it anywhere else in America? Just pick a state.
I don't think so. I mean, he's going to get this everywhere. Exactly. And he's going to be the nominee.
Exactly. He's going to be more popular in South Carolina. He's probably going to be more popular in Utah, probably going to be more popular in Texas, a little less popular in some other places, but I think it's going to be about the same.
Right. But that's hardly a recipe for the general election. If that's the quote unquote party enthusiasm that's behind him, and his whole campaign is going to be to try to convince you that he's a victim. Joe Biden's behind it all. He's a mastermind, but he's also an addled, dementia-ridden vegetable. And the country is in such horrible shape. Only he can fix it via becoming your dictator, your right. friendly dictator, Donald Trump. I think that the bandwagon bullshit media stampede for Trump on this is just horrible. And you want to talk about, oh, did we learn anything from 2016 in covering Trump? Did we learn anything from 2020 in covering Trump? The answer is no. And it's actually worse because he's being treated, it's as if there's a bifurcation of the coverage of Trump. Now, it's exactly what he wants. It's candidate Trump, winning primaries, caucuses, Trump, strength, Trump. His people love him, Trump, and victim Trump, forcing himself to show up at hearings and trials where he isn't even obligated to do that. And he's getting away with it so far. But I would submit, and I'll stick with my original thesis here, it's years and years in the making, which is that eventually the weight of it all will fall on his head. And I'll say this also, mark the tape, Snerdly. This is the high watermark of Donald Trump's bid for re-election today. This is it, the day after Iowa.
That's a hot take. And I truly hope you're right about that. And I could see you being right about that. I really hope, because New Hampshire looks a little shaky for him, to say the least. Some news about the person you mentioned earlier, who is the third place finisher in the Iowa caucus, the Hawkeye. I know you missed it. Nikki Haley, Fox and Friends this morning, insisting that America has never been a racist country. This would just be weeks after she refused to mention the Civil War as a reason, or the slavery for a reason that the Civil War was fought, Brent.
Bert, what was the context of that remark? I need to know it.
That was it.
I can hear what the escape hatch is, which is, yes, there have been lots of racists in this country, but that doesn't mean the whole country is racist, and that's what I meant.
Let me give you the context.
I'm getting a bad headline. That's what I'm guessing.
Let me give you the context. Go ahead. Nikki Haley, first of all, I mean, Joy Reid lives in a different America than I do. I mean, yes, I'm a brown girl that grew up in a small rural town in South Carolina who became the first female minority governor in history, who became a UN ambassador, who is now running for president. If that's not the American dream, I don't know what is. You can sit there and give me all the reasons why you can't think I can't do this. I will continue to defy everybody on why we can do this, and we will get it done. Kilmeade, are you a racist party? Are you involved in a racist party? Haley, no, we're not a racist country, Brian. We've never been a racist country. Our goal is to make sure that today is better than yesterday. Are we perfect? No, but our goal is always to make sure we try to be more perfect every day that we can.
Time out. She shifted the answer to a question that was not asked.
That's right.
What he didn't even ask, is this a racist country? He asked if the Republican Party is a racist party, which, by the way, is kind of a fair question, considering where we are. And she didn't want to answer that, so she answered a question that was never asked. So
this is a tell. This is in basketball. If you got a guy who cannot go to his left, you try to make that guy desperately go to his left. If you're an opponent of Nikki Haley in the general election or in the primary, you try to get her to talk about race, because if she does, she's going to fuck it up every time. That's what you got to do. Civil war, race, racism, get her in that area right there, and she'll just fall all over herself. She'll trip over her own dick. Figuratively speaking.
What about Obama?
Well, what about Obama?
I just said it.
That was the classic answer. We're not racist. We elected Obama.
Yeah.
Remember, that was supposed to be the solution.
It solved everything. And that's why we voted for him, right? And then
the classic, Obama said he's going to fix all this racism. He didn't do it.
He lied. He made it worse. Now, if you're white, you can't get into college. No white people left in colleges. You notice that?
That's terrible. It's just terrible. Let's go to the local story there. Run, Nazi, run in Rockingham County. I want to hear about this.
This is beautiful, beautiful stuff here. We have a Republican candidate in North Carolina for a state legislative seat denying accusations from fellow Republicans, that he's a neo-Nazi. The State Board of Elections decided this day, as we speak Tuesday, that he will be allowed to run for office in 2024. The guy's name is Joseph Gibson. The Board of Elections voted unanimously to say that their decision was not related to his views, but rather to his criminal record. We never want criminal records to be involved as some kind of criteria for.
Yeah. Can I focus in on a huge part of this story from WRAL.com? Gibson has a felony record from Connecticut in the 1990s, and Republican Party's insiders have been using that to try to block him from running for office this year. Brad, there's a guy with a felony record who they're trying to block for running for office. Can you believe that?
Read the next sentence.
The next sentence is, but there's no evidence Gibson is ineligible to run vote or run for office, according to rulings from both the County Elections Board and now the State Board. Yeah, but Republicans who are freaking out about Donald Trump via the 14th Amendment about not being on the ballot are now trying to, like, well, wait a minute. This guy can't run. I find that part of it hilarious.
Mr. Gibson said he's expecting the Republicans to now apologize for the character assassination and political assassination targeted at him as he moves forward with his challenge during the primary election.
Does he want a text or an email, or does he want a telegram, or what does he want?
He's paid his debts to society. He finished his probation over a decade ago, which state law requires for people to regain their voting rights. And I guess that means you get to run for office.
It is Republican on Republican violence, as you point out.
We'll just sit back and enjoy that. But if there's ever a county that we can stereotype and say they're capable of electing a Nazi or someone with Nazi sympathies, it would be that county, right?
There's been a lot of Republican on Republican violence in Rockingham County, as far as them trying to build a casino there. You've got Sam Page, the sheriff, who's running for lieutenant governor, and Mark Robinson, the current lieutenant governor, on one side, and you got the Bible thumpers on the other side. It's really, I don't like a mommy and daddy fight.
And what bothers me about this story is, what was the felony for which he was convicted? It doesn't say.
What his felonies were?
Yeah, felonies covers a lot of ground.
It does. It could be embezzlement. It could be a lot of stuff. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean you try to rob a liquor store, although that would be a
felony. But you know what, Britt? The people should not be robbed of their right to vote for whoever.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not saying he's not a quality candidate. I mean, he's exactly the kind of guy
for me to judge. Don't you dare judge another man.
I'm sorry. This is exactly the kind of guy we need in Raleigh. I mean, I'm not even trying to go there.
Yeah. 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 All right. Let's work the Ann Coulter angle here for just a moment. And to this very day, I regret that I cannot find.
Oh,
the audio of Ann Coulter storming off. It was my program at that point, two different times, when I had her on 20 some years ago.
She had a deadline. She had to publish a column.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like you could hear the phone drop and hear little feet running away. It was a great moment. Wish I had. Anyway. And I know what you're wondering. I thought Ann Coulter was dead. She's not.
I was hoping.
But she has been an anti-Trumper now for a long time. And part of it being for the exact opposite reason, say, that we are, that he wasn't mean enough on the border or things like that. But it doesn't really matter. We don't care. But here are her points. Trying to break, and this is kind of a different version of what I came up with a few minutes ago, which is, if half of the half of the half of the people in Iowa who did not vote for Trump in the Republican caucus in the general election, absolutely under no circumstance say, I'm not voting for Trump, and they either sit home or vote for Joe Biden, the margins are pretty close. They're going to be close in a lot of places again. That should be pretty devastating to him. But here's the Ann Coulter list of concerns here. She says, if there are any
concerns,
right. If there are any, it's a lot fewer than those who voted for Trump who've since died. In other words, number of people switching to Trump. Come on. Or people who voted for Trump. A lot of those people on the upper end, they are dead. And if you think that the immigrants who have come into this country, who've turned 18 in the last 4 years, or even the last, I guess, then 22 for the last 8 years, and are going to vote, if you think they're going to vote for Trump in any kind of large numbers, you're wrong. And Republicans who voted for Trump in 2020 but have since changed their minds over his behavior in the Georgia runoffs. And look at the 2022 red wave, the one that never happened. So she sounds, none of those things are anything different than what we've all said in different forms all this time. It's, if you believe that running for office is about addition, not subtraction, you can fall into, if you're national horse race media, believing that because Donald Trump does rallies and because all the interviews that are done with the idiots in diners and places like that in New Hampshire and Iowa are pledging. And by the way, the new one that you keep hearing now, I'd walk over glass for him. Notice that one? That was just, now they all say it. And they all repeat it, too.
Okay. Walk over glass.
The point is, these are not new Trump people. They're just not. And so he's not growing his base, and he's not growing what's around that base in any level, because I don't think that the victimhood thing, the weaponization of the justice system against me, specifically by evil genius, who's an addled, dementia-ridden vegetable, Joe Biden, is going to play in the general election. It works in the primary, it worked so much in the primary that all of the people who were trying to run against Trump in the caucus in Iowa, all of them came to Trump's aid, right? Came to his side. Yeah, the weaponization of the Donald Trump is a victim. That doesn't gain them any currency in a primary or caucus. We've seen that now. It doesn't help them. And it solidifies Trump's base. But so what? It's a big country. These are big states. Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. Is Donald Trump gaining new fans here? Do you feel that here? I don't.
No, I think your point is well made. I think that's and I've been as prone to freaking out as anybody else when these polls come out. Oh my God, this looks terrible, and this looks terrible. And I guess the most recent one was that Trump and Biden are in a fist fight, and then if it's DeSantis, if he's the nominee, then he's got a clear advantage over Biden. If Nikki Haley's the, you know.
But they're not going to be. So it's like it's a waste of time.
You really do have to. There's a signal to noise ratio there that you got to kind of focus on. And I think the Biden campaign, from what I've seen, is doing the exact right thing. They're carving this out as this is democracy that we're voting for. If you like democracy, if you want democracy to continue, this is the way that you got to go. If you want it to die and anarchy to rule and all that other shit, that's the other way to go. And I think that I saw a message already on social media from those guys that, like, hey, Donald Trump won last night. He's going to be the nominee. He's going to be who we fight in the fall. Democracy is on the line and it's on the ballot. So I'm seeing those guys, after a lot of people had been screaming at the Biden campaign to get in the game, they're fully involved and they're in the game. And you saw the fundraising numbers. They're very favorable toward Joe Biden. So everybody take a step back. This is going to be a tough time. This probably will be a close election, but everybody just needs to take a deep breath. All is not lost. It is only January. We got a long way to go.
So we started with this idea that Trump takes Iowa and the world takes a shit. A weary world braces for Trump's return to the White House. So that's the kind of headline that connotes inevitability, right? And the world's getting ready. Hey, world, have you noticed we haven't had the finals yet? Okay, we haven't gotten to the finals yet.
Don't you think that headline and the stuff that the people see on TV and on social media and stuff are like, for the ones who haven't been paying attention, like, holy shit, how could Trump win? How could he have won Iowa? I thought that guy was dead. Right. You know, for people that haven't paying attention, maybe it could come to you as a shock a little bit.
I don't know how many people are that completely removed from everything.
There's a lot
The piece goes around the world. It goes around the world. This is in Bloomberg. And they survey and they talk to leaders who are, this is very Hitler-like shit, where, you know, once Hitler started overrunning countries in Europe, what happened? Other countries went out of their way if they weren't going to fight him to suck up to him. And maybe he won't run me over. Maybe he won't rip my face off. So this is happening all over the world. Name your country.
Now we really
India,
should.
Brazil. They're all doing it. They're all getting ready just in case they have to suck up to Trump.
We do really need to talk about the unfortunate schism and the fight that we see now between Vivek Ramaswamy and his hero Donald Trump. The withering attacks.
It's over. It's over. He's endorsed him. He's quit and he's endorsed him. Next subject. It's not
the withering attacks from Donald Trump on Vivek Ramaswamy over the past 72 hours.
Doesn't matter. Britt, for all you know, he's going to be his VP. You don't know that.
You kiss his ass as much as any person has ever kissed, and you still get smacked around by this guy.
Okay, that's the first time that's ever happened. That is the first time, you know.
He's like a champ at it. He's like better than anybody who's ever been at sucking up to Donald Trump. He kissed his ass like nobody's business, and Trump took the first opportunity he could to smack the shit out of it.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now. There has to be a precedent for something like this in wrestling.
I mean, there's like a million of them where the guy was he was a subservient and then eventually turns on the guy. I mean, that's happened many times.
yeah Yeah.
You know, the first WrestleMania 3, which was the big one, which is Andre against Hogan. You know, Andre would kind of genuflect toward Hogan. But then there was this moment in time when they brought out this huge, massive trophy for Hulk Hogan for being the world champion. And they had a much smaller trophy for Andre the Giant for being undefeated for 25 years. And that's when the people on TV saw him like going a little side eye toward him. And then all of a sudden, of course, it led to a huge issue. But I find it hilarious. I find it very funny. And yes, I'm glad they could make up, and I hope they'll make some campaign appearances together in New Hampshire, because that's gonna really, I think, help push Trump over the top. If they can get Vivek Ramaswamy's voter on board with Donald Trump.
Trump went to court this morning. He didn't have to show up. This is for the second E. Jean Carroll defamation case. This is another civil trial because Trump opened his mouth, and the trial is going to determine how much Trump is going to have to pay. This time, he's already been ordered to pay her $5 million the first time. So the judge's name is Judge Lewis Kaplan, and Trump's rent-a-lawyer, Alina Habba, got into it when the judge refused Alina Habba's request for the trial be postponed so that Trump could pretend to care and go to his mother-in-law's funeral on Thursday. Now, I'm trying to keep up with the hypocrisy here by Trump, because as of yesterday and the day before, he had already scheduled a rally in New Hampshire on Thursday, the day that he supposedly wanted the trial to be postponed so that he could go to the funeral. Now I don't see him having scheduled a rally anymore on Thursday, but it's hard to follow the exact ins and outs of the scheduling. But they got into it, the lawyer and Judge Kaplan. The judge refuted her claims and told her that the procedure for the trial, the schedule had been established. That's it. That's how we roll. No more arguments. And you like this. This is right out of every great movie where a judge is up there just smacking around a lawyer you've ever heard. Here's the judge. When the ruling is made, that is the end, not the beginning of the argument.
Correct.
How about that?
That's correct.
I am asking you, sir, now for I'd like a one-day adjournment of this trial to allow my client to be there so he can be present for every day of the trial as he has the right to be. And the judge says, I am not stopping him from being there. The argument is over. Get out of here.
I want a judge to say, I don't give a shit about your rally schedule. I just don't. I would like for a judge to say that. I don't care if you've scheduled a rally at the top of fucking Empire State Building at midnight. I don't give a shit. That's
remember, she wasn't arguing for the rally
schedule.
She was arguing for the funeral schedule, which doesn't seem to get mentioned here anymore because it's bullshit. This is just another attempt to delay. That's all it is. And this judge sees right through it, and he was having none of it good for him.
If you continue to argue with the judge, I believe that's what they call contempt. I think that's what that is. Again, didn't go to law school, didn't take the LSAT, but I believe that's what that is.
Yeah. Well, we wish her well. We wish her well getting legal work after this is all over.
The news yesterday from Trunk Legal World is that Joe Tacopina, the president's very able counsel, has apparently resigned. He's no longer going to be representing Donald John Trump Sr.
And we miss him already.
Yeah. I'm going to assume that he wasn't getting any money and decided he didn't want to work for free, because I think that's happening.
In the legal world, on this day, as we speak on Tuesday, we have a story that began last August. Just to give you an idea about delay. Things start, and it takes 6 months in this case, to get a final ruling. Back in August, Jack Smith wanted access to Trump's Twitter account. And X, Elon Musk, they tried to appeal Jack Smith's search warrant. The order sent down today says the petition is denied. Boom. Okay. Conservatives on the court disagreed on the grounds that Trump was denied the opportunity to argue that he had presidential immunity against charges related to election subversion. Holy shit. They are still trying to play the presidential immunity card.
Of course they are.
For things that Donald Trump was doing to subvert the government and the elections of the United States of America, federal and state elections. Wow. But the point is that look how long it's taken. It's taken from August to now. It's about 7 or 8 months, right? Yeah. That's a long time. Yeah. Yeah. But you lose again, Don. You lose again. Sorry, we're going to get to see all your Twitter crap. Oh, well. imagine being that person that has to look through everything.
You do want to, the last item you had was stream.
Yeah. And I knew this would happen. It wouldn't matter whether 2 people or 2 billion people paid to watch the Kansas City Miami game on Peacock on Saturday night. Wouldn't matter. The NFL was going to declare it the greatest success in the history of anything ever, which of course they did. And they're doing it based on the fact that it fucked up the internet. Okay. That's always.
Now, let me explain. And when you say fuck up the internet, they said it was like the largest internet event in the history of the internet.
Right.
30% of the total traffic that was used on the internet, according to the NFL, was used in some way, shape, or form to do something with this game.
Nielsen says 23 million people in total. If you add Peacock, NFL Plus, and the NBC affiliates in Miami and Kansas City. But this is the bottom line. NFL media executives Hans Schroeder, excuse me, I'm sorry, told the Associated Press that the NFL is going to look at viewership numbers and deciding whether to, listen to this phrase, exclusively stream wild card games in the future.
Okay.
Not a wild card game, but more than one.
Okay. I'll give you this. If anybody thinks that the ratings or the viewership is going to be the driving factor in them doing this in the future, you're full of absolute shit.
Right.
That's almost too much. That doesn't pass the laugh test.
One other game over the weekend got more viewers, and of course it was on non-pay TV as we know it. Cleveland getting creamed by Houston got 29 million viewers. I can't believe that there wasn't a bigger hate watching audience to see the Cowboys get blown off the field.
I love
on, that was entertaining. That was entertaining.
I love watching the Cowboys get beat. Somebody on the Lebatard show said they would pay for one more streaming service, and that was to try to find old people so they could watch old people trying to figure out Peacock. If they could pay $6 to have old people like Mike Francesa and Bob Ryan and some of these people that were having trouble figuring the whole thing out.
That's not the hardest part of it, but
It's not. It's easy.
I mean, I'm the same age as those people. I don't have any trouble doing
it. No, you're fine, but you're technologically adept and you don't have people doing shit for you all the time and stuff like that. The only other point that I will make on your behalf and for the folks that were really, really complaining about this is that if you split up $110 million 32 ways, it's like three and change, which $3 million is the toilet paper budget for the New York Giants.
Yeah, but remember, this is just the beginning.
Oh, I get it.
This I is understand just the beginning. And by the way, Britt, even Jerry Jones or Robert Kraft, who are worth billions, if you said to them, is $3 million a decent amount? They'd say, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, if you want to hand them $3 million, they'll take $3 million off of your hands at any point in time.
There was no effort made by anybody else to do anything.
There was a podcast last summer, I think it was. It was John Skipper, the UNC graduate who used to run ESPN. And he said, at some point in time, they're going to have a pay-per-view Super Bowl. And everybody was like, oh, John, you're so stupid. That's never going to happen. Would you shut up? That's why you had to leave ESPN, because you said stupid stuff like that. Well, one day you're going to have
anybody say that was stupid. Who said that was stupid?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Who said that was stupid?
There are various people on many different platforms, and some folks that are even in the business said that that was the dumbest thing in the history of the world, including David Sampson, that guy that used to run the Miami Marlins. There were a lot of people that called about it and said that was ridiculous. You will be at some point, maybe before I die, I don't know, paying $30, $50, $60 to watch the Super Bowl. That's going to happen. It will happen at some point in time. It will happen and if you don't want to do that, you can go to a bar. And if you don't want to go to a bar, then you won't be watching the Super Bowl. Sorry. That's just what it is.
Well, can I have your login thing now?
See, that's the thing. I really, my entire life, as far as I've known you, it's always been, well, I'm okay. I don't know why people are bitching about stuff, because I'm good. I was good. I've had Peacock for years, so I can watch it anytime I want to or not watch it. I don't care. And I've got a login thing, and I've shared my login thing with people, and they've traded stuff with me. That's what we do. But there were just some people that were just so completely and totally outraged. And how could the NFL owners be so greedy? Where have you been for the last 60 years?
Why now?
Yeah, I mean, if we get into these, and I don't want to get into these libertarian arguments about how much money is enough, quote unquote, enough money for these people to make, because you know the answer to that.
Well, hang on. Let me, aside from that, let me give you the argument on why they really shouldn't move very far into this kind of model, with the endpoint being, you know, $50. For the Super Bowl, the taxpayers subsidizing the National Football League,
yeah,
stadiums,
yeah,
antitrust exemptions and things of that sort are substantial. In other words, the people have already paid more than they're due collectively for this entity to be able to grow in the way that it has grown.
Yeah.
And the payback, the implicit bargain, and this was a discussion point in front of Congress decades ago, by, I'm sure it was Pete Rozelle, the commissioner of football through the 60s and 70s, who laid down the law, because it wasn't if there wasn't already pay-per-view boxing and things of that sort. You know, you go to a theater, closed circuit. I mean, the technology has been out there and growing. It wasn't called streaming yet, but it was there. And I guarantee you that the NFL, to get antitrust exemptions and to be able to take all the money and divvy it up equally, that's called socialism, all those things. Part of that was the promise that they would make things like the Super Bowl available to the whole country. So, this is camel's nose under the tent. I get that whole thing. But it's not quite so simple as, well, if you don't like it, if you don't want to pay, then you don't have to watch the game. I don't think that's going to fly. And
you're talking about screams for some sort of stupid hearing up in the Senate where they're screaming at like owners and stuff like that, where they're trying to grandstand.
I'm not calling for new hearings.
That's essentially what it is. And to make the point, they have to make the point to these people's faces and demagogue it. And not really demagogue it, but just point out the facts. Hey, you've got taxpayers that have given you billions with a B of dollars over the years. And so would you mind just throwing them a bone by showing it on free TV? Would that be too much for you people?
That's right. You have to jack the final $50 out of every citizen.
I can go for that argument. I can that argument I can go for, especially Thank or you,
you can Thank go. You. Full disclosure, I am advising a group of citizens called Citizens for a Free Fucking Super Bowl. Okay.
Coffees.